Did you know Super Awesome Mix has an app? Go to the Apple App Store today and download Super Awesome Mix. It's free. You could start creating and sending your own digital mixtapes in just a few clicks. Also, there's links to our Instagram account and a link where you can follow your favorite podcast. Speaking of which, welcome back to another Super Awesome Mix. My name is Matt Sidholm, alongside my co-host and co-founder of Super Awesome Mix, Samer Abu Salbi. Samer, how are we doing this week?
You know, doing real well, because I've been waiting for this mix for a while now. So I'm really, truly excited to talk about it.
Well, I'm excited too, just because, well, let's just tell the people what it is. We're going to do an introduction to Metallica, and this was put together by Samer, who got to see them live earlier this year on their big stadium tour. And yeah, like, this is a band I feel like I've always known, but I can't say I'm overly familiar with their music, right? I think I know the hits, because I've gotten a lot of radio airplay, but I was excited too for you to put this one together.
That's awesome. Yeah. So like you mentioned, I went and saw their 72 seasons tour that they're doing. I started it off at MetLife in New Jersey, went with a friend. It was a great, great show. We went with kind of the cheaper seats, you know, as you do with stadium seating. But I enjoyed it so much that honestly, I'm like looking at trying to catch them in Chicago like sometime next year and doing possibly like field or even snake pit seats and just kind of like making that a birthday present to myself or something, because saving up from now, because I loved it so much. And I just have to imagine that like being that close to them, it's got to be like a different experience. It was a great show.
I would imagine. Yeah. And just, I mean, I can't even, how loud it must have been. I saw AC/DC like, I don't know, probably 20 years ago. So well after their heyday, right? But I remember it being so loud in the arena I was in, like much louder than most of the concerts I've seen. And so I can't even imagine what Metallica was like. It almost needs a stadium to kind of take the edge off the sound.
Totally. Yeah. The other last thing I'll mention about that concert is that, so I normally wear all black, like my entire wardrobe is like black head to toe. And I texted my wife whenever I got there. I was like, oh my God, I found my people. Like everyone there is in all black, you know, very metal. I'm very metal of everyone. And you know, that's just who I am, Matt. I'm just a metal guy.
So yeah,
metal lifestyle.
If any longtime listeners were piecing together a picture in their head of what Samer looked like, I mean, the all black probably fits, right? Like I'm guessing most of you had that he wears a lot of black.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So Samer put this one together. So I will introduce every song. I will not say by Metallica on every song because, hey, everybody, it's 12 songs by Metallica. All right. We're just going to spoil this. Let's get into it. Track one, you picked No Leaf Clover. And this one is done live with the San Francisco Symphony.
Yeah. So before we get into that song, let me just tell you how I structured this one, because I did it a little bit differently than other introduction mixes. I made it in a sense of like how I was introduced to Metallica and what made me fall in love with it. So those first three songs are the songs that hooked me and then got me to go into like the rest of their discography. So that's why it opens like a little bit out of order here with No Leaf Clover. It was the first song. I remember actually downloading it from Napster. So it was like really, you know, Napster quality, which is great. But oh my gosh, I was obsessed with this. And I think this song really also proves kind of like how metal and classical, and I've said this many times before, are not that far off. And I think it also speaks to kind of the melodies and like the power that Metallica has, and I think why they've had such a long like career in this industry, because like their stuff works really well with classical elements. And it's almost like poetic in a way. And I love this song. I've always loved the lyrics of this one because it's kind of rough, you know, because he's saying that, you know, the soothing light at the end of your tunnel is just a freight train coming your way. And so it's like basically just like kind of a song about like bad luck. But you think it might be good luck because you're like, oh, look, it's a, you know, nice light at the end of the tunnel. and it turns out it's a very heavy train coming your way. Hence the title, A No Leaf Clover, which is like, as he's saying, is like the complete opposite of a four leaf clover. So it's kind of a song about bad luck. But yeah, I loved this song. It was my first intro to them. And I love the classical element. Like that whole S&M live album is incredible and is worth a listen.
That's funny you laid out the structure like that, because this was probably my favorite pick of the 12 songs. And again, that's nothing disparaging about the rest of the songs, but this was so unexpected to hear them play with a symphony. Again, from what I know of Metallica, not being necessarily a super fan. But yeah, I loved this one and hearing the symphony with them. And you're right, I think gives a lot of credit. And I say this a few more times, you know, in my notes, like looking at them, is like musically, they're really talented.
Yeah.
And I think in the heavy metal genre, that gets overlooked a lot. And I think pairing them with the symphony maybe highlights that. So I could see why somebody would get hooked listening to something like this.
Totally. Yeah. No, I'm glad you liked it.
All right, so track two, so this would have been another one that kind of drew you in. It is The Call of Cthulhu.
Yeah, so this is one that was introduced to me by my brother-in-law, who was, you know, 12 years older than me. So, like, he grew up definitely in like, the 80s. He was, like, you know, born in the 70s, grew up as an 80s kid, and kind of got into Metallica. He was also really into H.P. Lovecraft, like, the horror stories. And so this is actually based off of The Call of Cthulhu, which is a H.P. Lovecraft novel. He was a horror author, as I mentioned. And so, yeah, like, I thought, you know, this just kind of really shows the power of their guitar work. And again, how it's, like, just kind of classically beautiful. What's really funny, so this is off the album, you know, Ride the Lightning from 1984. So still kind of early metal days for them. I played this song for Sarah, and she was like, oh, the opening is really pretty. And then, of course, it gets really into, like, you know, like a harder metal sound. But, you know, I hooked her on those opening notes, and she, again, kind of appreciated that. Yeah, like, I think they just have, like, beautiful melodies and really great guitar play. And, you know, it's awesome. Once the drums kick in and you play it loudly, like, it gives me chills to listen to it. And it's a long song. I think this clocks in at almost 8 minutes. So. But wow, it's awesome.
Yeah, this was a great pick. And from when it came from, so this is 1984, right? When this album was released, it had the opening almost reminded me of something from like Led Zeppelin and like that kind of softer classic rock feel.
Totally.
But then you're right. The song kind of evolves into what you might think of Metallica, right?
Yeah.
Like, and so I thought it was kind of cool from an introductory standpoint. It's funny you did this for Sarah, because I'm like, if you like classic rock, it's like you can listen to the beginning of this and then just watch them transform a little bit into, hey, look, this is what this can become.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was like just great and really cool from one of their early albums that it was like, it almost felt like they were building a bridge between like, this is what you're used to listening to and this is what we are.
Yeah, I think that's exactly well said. I love that.
All right, so track three, you go with Nothing Else Matters.
All right, so now we've skipped ahead to 1991. This is a known controversial album for Metallica, because it's early 90s now. You know, we've had like three or four thrashing metal albums, and then they release what is later to be known as the Black Album, but it's really just the self-titled Metallica album. That is like a little bit more, you know, like mainstream, let's call it, like a little bit more like rock, less metal. And so I think a lot of their early fans got really annoyed, and they thought that like Metallica like departed from their sound. But honestly, like if you look at the song list on this album, I think this is what introduced a lot of people to Metallica and like just blew them up, right? So Enter Sandman, Sad But True, The Unforgiving, Nothing Else Matters, Wherever I May Roam, like all of these are songs that you're probably familiar with. If you don't know the title, you've probably heard the song. And again, you know, it's funny you mentioned the Zeppelin thing here, because I think the same thing about this opening. Like it's almost like you're listening to Zeppelin when it begins, and then it like kind of like builds up a little bit and builds up. It's like a really nice ballad. And what I like about this song too is that it's got a great message too. It's like truly like ignore all the haters and all the doubters and ignore all the naysayers and stuff. Like none of that matters. You got to stay true to yourself. So I just think this is just a powerful song through and through. And you know, I don't hate on them being successful and trying different things. I think that's kind of rough when people do that to bands that they like. Like, let them experiment. We've talked about that before.
Yes. Yeah. When a band goes mainstream, it's like, oh, man, you guys sold out. And it's like, well, OK, they do need a job at some point. They have to pay rent. And
totally.
But you're right about this one. 1991, I mean, I was a freshman in high school at that time. And so you got this and you've got Nirvana coming on. And so it's like two very different styles of like rock music, right?
Yeah.
But both became just monster hits. So like you just read off that album. I feel like I've heard that album so many times. And this was really my intro to Metallica, right? And so definitely heard this song a million times, as well as The Unforgiven, which I think is later on this mix. And so, yeah, just big hit after big hit. And you're right. It gets a little power ballady versus yeah. like some of their earlier, like just straight ahead heavy metal stuff. But it's still pretty good.
I agree. And actually, if you're like really into this album, they did a 30-year anniversary a couple years ago where they invited basically every artist on the planet to do like covers of, of their songs. And there are some really good ones of this song in particular that are just kind of like, they give you chills just to hear other artists take on it. And I think it's really cool. It's good for a future covers mix. I might bring one in.
Nice, nice. All right, now we're going to go back in time, and it is The Four Horsemen.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to say by Metallica, and we already covered that. That's not...
And this one, let me check my notes, is by Metallica, yes.
Thank you. All right, now I'm keyed in. Yeah, so this is their, you know, their Kill 'Em All album from 1983, and even from the title alone, you can kind of get a sense of their energy, right? Like, it's coming off of like the punk sound movement in the world and very heavy metal sound here. And, you know, I think like they've got like Megadeth influence here because that was a member early on before he kind of like split out and created his own thing, which again, Megadeth, great title for a metal band name.
It is.
But yeah, you know, it's interesting to have definitely the juxtaposition between Nothing Else Matters and to kind of hear this song, right? And you understand why I think fans didn't like that Black album, because like this has screeching guitars that are super high pitched, like the choppiness of their voices, like you definitely hear the kind of punk influence, I think, in this metal, you know, intro to the world for their album. So very, very different, but honestly, I like it. Like, I think it's great. And if you're into the metal sound, like you're going to love this one if you haven't heard it.
Well, and the from a lyrical standpoint, I felt like this one was much more in line with kind of those, you know, 70s, like kind of hard rock or early heavy metal, where, you know, it's kind of a little bit esoteric and about like the end of the world. Yes. And stuff like that. So it's a little bit more in line with that. What's funny hearing this right after Nothing Else Matters is how the sound of James Hetfield's voice is so much higher, right? He just sounds younger.
Yeah.
Right. And not younger. He's not 12 years old when he's singing the song. Right. But obviously, you know, years of recording music and singing, and especially with the energy that he sings with, you see how his voice kind of evolves.
Yeah. It gets more gravelly through the years and mm-hmm. a little bit more weighted. Yeah. And we've talked about that with Bruce too. I think his voice as well has kind of aged. It sounds like him. It's interesting, right? Like, it's definitely still Bruce. Just same as it's, you know, James here, but yeah, it kind of evolves into this different thing. It's cool.
Yeah, because I wasn't as familiar with some of their early songs, like I think that was really cool for me to hear just how his voice kind of changes over time. And not, I mean, he still sounds great, honestly.
Yeah, totally.
All right, track 5. This is For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Yeah, so now we're 1984. This is, again, the album Ride the Lightning. This is, funny enough, like the bell tolling you hear at the beginning is Lars, who's the drummer on the band, hitting a giant anvil. I guess they had an anvil, and he just like whacked it, and they were like, that sounds like a bell, and so they brought that song in, so I thought that was great.
I like how he just had an anvil.
I know, I have a lot of follow-up questions to this little factoid.
I know a lot of people. I don't know one person with an anvil handy.
Me neither. You know, but maybe when you become a metal band, you know, you get like a kit from Acme. Like,
that's true. You're gonna you become a blacksmith as a side project.
You know, the name is metal, so that's it kind true. Of makes sense.
It tracks. It makes sense. Yeah.
But yeah, so I think, you know, this song just sounds like dark and ominous. And I think they do a really good job of producing that energy with their music. You know, it's honestly, it's like a take on the novel, the same name, For Whom the Bell Tolls, the Hemingway novel. And I think the lyrics are really good here. Like, I think they kind of get into that storytelling a little bit more. I love the lyrics here, like constant chill deep inside, shouting gun on the run through the endless gray. On they fight for their right, yes, but who's to say? For a hill men would kill, why? They do not know. And I think that that's like really powerful of just kind of speaking about, you know, oftentimes people fight wars and they themselves, especially on the front, like they don't know why they're fighting and why they're fighting for that hill. And so I think this like really does a good job of kind of speaking to that and taking influence from a very well-known novel.
Yeah, my thought here was like, if there's a high school English teacher who hasn't used this song to try to encourage their students to read this book, and that's a big miss, right?
Yeah, agreed.
Like, I had a high school English teacher who brought in all sorts of rock music, but was never once like, hey, listen to this Metallica song. It's about this book. I would have been like, I'm in. Let me read this book.
I love that. Yeah, it would have engaged me for sure in a different way, no doubt.
All right, track six. It is Master of Puppets.
All right, yeah, so 1986, off the album the same name, Master of Puppets. So this is a song that you're probably more familiar with if you're not into Metallica, because it had a massive resurgence thanks to Stranger Things. I feel like Stranger Things now has become this like cultural phenomenon of like reigniting our love for 80s tracks. you know, because they did it with Kate Bush, and now, you know, one of the final scenes featured this song. And incredible. I mean, I think like the scene that it featured in, I can't imagine that scene with any other song. So I think like they did a great job of picking it, because this is just like so much energy. I think it's an amazing song. It apparently is, I didn't know this, but it's about like drugs taking over your life. I mean, we always joke about how every song on the planet is either sex, drugs, or both, but in this case it actually is about drugs. And it makes a lot of sense, and I never even thought about that, but like reading the lyrics, knowing that, you know, like the refrain is like, taste me, you will see, more is all you need, dedicated to how I'm killing you. So he's just kind of thinking about how like the drug introduces itself into your life, and then, you know, you just feel like you need more and you need more, and then basically it's like slowly killing you. So I think it's really powerful in that regard. But they played this live and people just go nuts for it. It's like, it's awesome. And, you know, they've got that slow instrumental bridge. That's apparently when like the drugs are supposed to be wearing off and you're coming down off the high, and then it kind of like kicks back in again. So just really like this musically, and again, like how long it is and that journey that they take you through.
Yeah, this was a song I definitely was familiar with, but like had never really listened to. So yeah, totally agree on the lyrics. Like, this is a much more powerful song than I think I even, you know, realized, even though heard it countless times. So
yeah,
really good stuff. And you're exactly right. I mean, that kind of manipulation that the drugs, you know, kind of subconsciously do. I mean, obviously it's not a person, right? It's a thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that really comes through with the lyrics here. And you're right, even musically, I hadn't even thought about that. I was just kind of focused on the lyrics here. But yeah, the music, the way it all comes together is really nice. All right, track seven, you've got One.
Yes, so this is 1988 now. It's off of the album And Justice for All. So this is another song actually based off of a novel. This time the novel is Johnny Got His Gun by Dalton Trumbo. And it's kind of a rough story. It is a rough story. It's apparently a guy who like loses his limbs and is trapped in his body, but is being kept alive by his doctors. And like that's the point of view in which this song is kind of being sung. So it's really like very dark once I learned that, but I had always really liked this song and listened to it a lot, because I just felt like, again, it was like a story being told through the music. And I think the guitar player is like really powerful in this one. It's absolutely gorgeous. But, you know, it's telling that story about how basically the idea of one is that it's like one in a million. But even if it's one in a million, it's still one. Like, it's still happening to someone, even if the odds are one in a million. So I think that that's like a really powerful, you know, kind of message here. And unfortunately, in a very dark way, that one in a million isn't like winning the lottery. It's something terrible happening. So yeah, again, very, very thematically appropriate for Metallica to kind of pick these dark themes and sing about them in the 80s. So, but I just have always really liked this musically and sonically.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, reading the lyrics here and kind of knowing the backstory, I'm just like, man, that is dark, but really well told from a story standpoint. And you mentioned the guitar, like it almost sounded like a Spanish guitar. And again, speaks to kind of their technical skills, not just kind of straight ahead, you know, shredding guitar, kind of heavy metal. Like it's really nuanced. And so this is a good example of both just their songwriting kind of being elevated above maybe conventional heavy metal groups, and then also their musicality. So yeah, really like this one. All right, track 8, you've got The Unforgiven.
Yeah, okay, so we're back to the Metallica album, 1991. This song, funny enough, is, you know, like normally I'll play these songs and then as I'm listening to them, I take notes and I'm like reading up on them and everything. That's usually how I prep for these episodes. This is one where I basically had to listen to it 2 or 3 times because I kept forgetting to take notes because I would just start singing it and get really into it. Because I find it to be, and most of the songs on this album, I think that's the case, and that's part of why it became like so mainstream, is like you can sing along to them. You know, it might be a little bit harder to sing along to the Four Horsemen, like, unless you're amped up, like really amped up. But this one, this one you can sing along to. And I, you know, he played it also in the stadium tour, and it was amazing. And I found myself, you know, like basically singing the top of my lungs as well and getting really into it. So I think like the guitar solo also at halfway through this one is incredible. Like, you know, we talked about their technical skill. I think it's amazing. Like the guitarist they have here. But yeah, really, really like the song. It's, you know, I guess thematically it's actually about struggling to deal with like religion, especially around the topic of death and religion. And so that's kind of the title of like The Unforgiven, is like that religious theme there. But I've always really liked the song. And honestly, I just love that whole album. I know that, again, that might be controversial, but it's a good album.
Well, sometimes in retrospect, you know, at the time, something's not well received, but over time, like that starts to evolve. So
yeah,
I think an album that kind of connects fans to a band is usually a positive thing, even if that's not their best work.
I agree.
But yeah, this one, very familiar with, like I said, this album was everywhere when it came out. But yeah, like listening to the lyrics, you're exactly right. Like I can see how this would appeal to kind of a teenager, right? That maybe feels sort of oppressed, right? And kind of held down by whatever's going on in their life. And then, you know, they just do such a good job with the energy. They kind of fight. It's almost like, you know, Rage Against the Machine, another one of your favorite bands, where it's like just kind of that pushing back against what's maybe holding you down or trying to hold you down. So
totally.
Yeah, really good pick.
Nice.
All right, track 9, and I love this one. I knew this one. This is Fuel.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I had to include Fuel. 1997 off the album Reload. I wasn't too familiar. Like, there's definitely a couple of years here where I didn't follow along with Metallica as much. But this song, I mean, was played everywhere. And just from the opening notes, you know, give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. It's like, you are off on energy, like, you know, rainbow, basically. Like, it is so high energy. It's so crazy. Also played this on, you know, in the stadium tour, and people just lost their mind. It still keeps that, you know, keeps that punch all these years later. And yeah, I mean, even just like the lines, like quench my thirst with gasoline, is like such a great line, and just actually says so much with that one line, right? Like that you've got a thirst, you know, you've got like a hunger for something, and you're quenching it with gasoline, which is not something you would traditionally want to do. I do not recommend quenching your thirst with gasoline. So yeah, I just think that's great, and just kind of speaks to this like insane ride that the song is going to take you on.
Yeah, the energy here, you're right, just from the get-go is just incredible. And that's, you know, I hear this song in like arenas or stadiums. Like if you're ever at a game or something, this is one they'll definitely throw out there just for the energy behind it. So no, I love this one as far as like getting fired up. So yeah, definitely had to be on here. All right, track 10, you've got The Memory Remains.
So yeah, same album, Reload. But this is another one that I have just always really loved and kind of, you know, played a lot. And I think it's also another great storytelling one. It's about someone who basically had their 15 minutes of fame and then that went away, but they're like searching for it forever. And they kind of get trapped in this almost like narcissist thing of like trying to recapture that magic of, you know, having the fame and adoration of fans and everything, but they're haunted by it in a way. So hence like The Memory Remains. This features Marianne Faithfull on vocals, who, you know, had like, I guess, a career where she sang As Tears Go By, a single of hers, and was also the girlfriend of Mick Jagger. She's the one who's singing the da-da-da-da, that line, which is great. As I always do, shout out to the lyricists who wrote out all the da-das. It's great. But yeah, you know, I think it's great. Like the writing in this one is really powerful. One of the lines that I like is like twisted vines that grow, hide and swallow mansions whole, dim the light of an already faded prima donna. I just love that imagery of like the vines that kind of overgrow and take over like these, you know, this house, this mansion. And I think that really speaks to kind of this idea of like, you know, you used to belong here, but now it's unkempt and it's gone now and it's eaten by the vine. So I think that's really great.
Yeah, and the, you know, the money's run out, right? Like you can't afford the fleet of gardeners to like upkeep this property. So it's just going to get a little overgrown. Yeah. No, this is a great one. And I wasn't sure if I knew this one when it started, right? But I remember the outro with the da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yes, I've heard that one. So that is without a doubt the most notable thing, I think, about this song as far as like musically. That's what's going to stick in your head. But it's cool because that is like the outro, right? So it's like it does kind of stay there. And what's cool is that the song's called The Memory Remains, and it's like they have this very memorable outro to it. So
that's a really
whether that
good
was
point.
Intentional or not, I don't know, but it's very well done.
Yeah, I love that. I didn't consider that at all.
All right, track 11. You've got Saint Anger.
Yeah, okay, so now we're in 2003. This is off the album Saint Anger as well. Same, so it's the title track. This one, like, you know, kind of feels different than a lot of the other Metallica songs here. It's like grittier somehow. You know, maybe in the context of what was happening in the world in 2003, that makes sense. Like it's kind of a gritty time in those years. There's a lot. And, you know, as we always mention, thankfully, none of that's happening now and everything is very stable.
Yeah, we've fixed everything.
Yeah. But, you know, this one almost has like a System of a Down feel, you know, like where he's like, or just like almost like Korn in a way, like especially when he's singing, you flush it out. It's like they were probably influenced by nu metal, you know, and by those bands kind of coming out and pushing metal in like a different direction, hence nu metal. But yeah, I like when I first played this song, you know, this was one that I wasn't super familiar with, but as I was kind of exploring which songs to put on this mix, this one grew on me. The more I listened to it, and like especially once you kind of get a couple minutes into it, I was like, okay, I really like this. And I think like the instrumental build that happens around like minute 440, like is what sells me on this track. It's so, so good because it kind of like builds, and then it just feels like it overflows, which is very much kind of appropriate for anger because sometimes you kind of feel it building, and then there's a point where it's like, oh no, like I've unleashed the anger and it's kind of controlling me and I'm no longer in control. So I think like musically that works really well here, but really like this track, but definitely different than a lot of their other stuff.
Yeah, the part that got me here was, you know, it's 20 years on that they've been a band at this point, and like Lars Ulrich on the drums in this song, it's just crazy, right? And the changes he makes from like, you're right, the buildup and just the speed there. And then he's able to kind of slow it back down and go to something a little bit more conventional and then pick it up again. I was just thinking if they do this song live, that must be incredible to just kind of focus on him.
Totally. Yeah. Watching him play the drums for, you know, like 2.5 hours is kind of incredible. I have a lot of respect for drummers, especially because it's like it's so physically involved and they are just buckets of sweat by the end of the night. It's insane how much work goes into, especially on these like way more drum intense songs like, you know, heavy rock and metal.
I heard him interviewed on Smartless a couple weeks ago. If anyone's familiar with that podcast, it's a little known podcast, but anyway, he was like a highly ranked tennis player. Like he came to the U.S. for like junior tennis.
Wow.
And then when he got over here, he moved to California and didn't even make his high school tennis team because the tennis team was so good at that high school. And then just, yeah, he's always played music, but just kind of went in that direction too. So he's kind of an elite athlete, which I thought was kind of cool considering like what he's able to output on the drums. I was like, yeah, that probably tracks.
That's awesome.
You'd have to be pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. You need arm strength at least for sure.
Yes. All right. Well, let's wrap this one up. Track 12, you go with really their latest and greatest. This is 72 Seasons.
Yes, exactly. Off of their most recent album, 72 Seasons, the same name. So this one, you know, is about literally 72 seasons, which is 18 years. So it's a song about kind of the first 18 years of your life and how much that can influence you and how much you change over that time period. But what I really love about this album is like, we've kind of come full circle. And I feel like this is really back to their roots. And we've talked about a couple of songs off of this in our new music mixes. You really do feel it's like, okay, that's the old Metallica sound. And I think that they have really reinvigorated their fan base, you know, like kind of producing this, the songs on this album that very much sound like the early 80s work that they did. And I almost wonder if like Stranger Things and Master of Puppets and having everyone kind of like fall in love with that sound might have encouraged them to produce an album full of music that sounds like that. I don't know. I don't know what the timing was of all of those things, but it just made me wonder if like they were like, huh, people really liked our 80s sound. Like, let's put an album out that sounds just like that. But I think they did a great job. And this album has like a lot of really fun tracks. And this is one of my favorites off of it.
Yeah, I agreed. Like, this really was like, this is just classic Metallica, except, you know, I think the difference when you contrast it to something from like Ride the Lightning is they're just masters of their instruments now, right? And I think hearing it all on one mix like this, again, they weren't bad at like playing guitar or drums like, you know, 40 years ago, but you know, 40 years on, you're just going to be exceptional.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that maybe stands out here. It's almost like more refined Metallica, but not refined in a, it's not heavy metal sort of way, just more like, God, technically they're excellent. Totally. And I thought that really came through on this track.
Yeah. One little thing that happened, Robert Trujillo, one of the guitarists, was opening up, I'm blanking on which song he was opening, but it was really hard. It's like a really hard track to get right on the guitar. He got about a minute into it and then was like, wait, nope, that's not good enough for me. Sorry, everyone. I'm going to restart it. I loved that moment because it's like, it was so real, you know, it's like, it sounded amazing to me, but apparently, right, you know, to his ear, he was like, that wasn't good enough. Let's do this again. And I really appreciated that.
That's awesome too, because stadium, I mean, it's so hard to hear sometimes in the stadium and you're not going to get maybe the best sound. And so right, for him to kind of pick up on that not being just exactly right, that's really cool.
Yeah, it was.
Well, there you have it. Okay, an introduction to the band Metallica. So you can turn all your metalheads on to Super Awesome Mix now. They've got a reason to listen as well. Okay, and they can follow us at Super Awesome Mix, so get them on the Instagram as well. And yeah, we're going to get to work on our next mixes. So for Stammer, this is Matt, and we'll see you next time. Super Awesome Mix is brought to you by DLM. Make shopping easy with DLM, the one-stop shop for all your casual clothing needs. Shop DLMSupplyCo.com and enter the promo code AWESOME at checkout to save 15% off your first purchase. That's DLMSupplyCo.com.